Welcome to the Social Impactors Podcast. This podcast is all about impact. We work to highlight impactful individuals making positive social change in their communities. From coaches, authors, entrepreneurs, influencers, we tap into the minds of some of the most impactful people around the world to find out how they have built a life of creating impact. Now listen in and be ready to go on a journey of enlightenment, motivation, and awe. Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast, a podcast where we highlight people making positive social change in their communities. And today we have Jeff Tennery, who is the founder and CEO of Moonlighting, which is a very cool company, and I definitely suggest checking it out on republic.co. They're doing a fundraising round right now, and it's amazing, and I'm invested, and I love what you're doing. But I'd love for you to take over now and really just introduce who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Yeah, so I am, first and foremost, I'm a father of five. I just turned 50, and I've been an executive in the mobile business from its inception. I climbed up some of the first cell towers as they were being built out in the mid 80s when brick phones and flip phones were still kind of in its infancy. So I have always been focused in on mobile. And, you know, with Moonlighting is just, I guess, 30 year opus that I put together, my homage to wireless as a way to give back to the community, to impact people's lives in a positive fashion by helping them find work very quickly. The employment marketplace seems to be going pretty well and pretty robust right now, but there's still a lot of people being left behind or really they're not making enough money to get by. And so Moonlighting was really started back, 4 years ago. My colleagues and I, you really saw a problem where people weren't making enough money to pay the bills. When you think about the cost of education, housing, food, fuel, you name it. Moonlighting was this idea that came about when the market crashed in 2008. In my mind, I wanted to create something that I knew that I could help someone get a job, and namely me, at the time my wife was pregnant with our fifth child. And I was worried about being able to make the bills and be able to pay, to cover the my nut. And so the idea for us was, how can we use a mobile app that can help someone promote their skills, perhaps kick off their entrepreneurial aspirations of building their own company. And then essentially is, what people call freelancing. We love the idea of doing that. And so my colleagues and I were at corporate jobs and bigger companies, and we decided that we were going to moonlight and build a mobile app that could be used by anyone, anywhere, and create an income opportunity where it could be the difference of them making their bills each month.
And so for me, the social impact in that is that you're not only giving people the opportunity to be entrepreneurial, because I think everyone has the spirit to be entrepreneurial or at least make change in the world, but you're also providing sustainability. And I think that's a huge piece that a lot of people need, but also a lot of people don't have access to.
Yeah, and you think about it with mobile phones being glued to our faces and our hands, each and every day, and the amount of times that you go and look to your phone, whether it's looking at Facebook or sharing texts with friends and such, we wanted to build something that was highly productive. And so the time that you would spend on social media, that you could devote some of that time to using Moonlighting in our app, that it could result in creating something. So everybody knows how to use social media. So we wanted the user experience to be as easy as using Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. And we added a spin of Uber, which, Uber, obviously one of the great winners in today's gig economy. We wanted to take the best parts of Uber, where not everybody wants to drive for a living, but they have a unique skill set that it wouldn't be great if someone could be hired just like you're ordering an Uber ride. And that's really when we brought those two worlds together. We wanted to disrupt LinkedIn. We felt like LinkedIn was too, quite frankly, too corporate and too white collar. And we wanted to create, Moonlighting, where it was more inclusive, more open. We joke, we have fire jugglers and stilt walkers that are using Moonlighting for, finding entertainment gigs. And then we have, accountants, attorneys, photographers, DJs. It runs the gamut. And we wanted to make it open, inclusive. And the idea for us was to make an impact so that We might be the difference of someone making the rent that month. We might be the difference of how someone saves for college, for their child, college and education. Those are really big issues in people's savings lives. And so for us, the app was really kind of built for where you could use it as you need to based on your own financial situation.
I love that. I love what you're doing with Moonlight, but I'd love to understand more about, you know, you as Jeff, you as the, you know, the founder and CEO, and how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Yeah, I would say this, you know, we started, we're in a small little college town located in Charlottesville, Virginia. Unfortunately, it's made the news for all the wrong reasons over the past year, but it's a really great college town, very diverse. And so we started the business there and started making our first kind of customers were our focus, where we were able to reach out and find users that really needed the most amount of help. So, you know, one of our early users was a single dad. Unfortunately, his wife had kind of abandoned him in a unique situation when he needed her most. And he was, you know, on his own trying to raise a young boy as well as trying to make ends meet. And, you know, if you've ever been in those situations, they're really tight. So we used that. We actually hired him ourselves for all sorts of different jobs, and that kind of proliferated and actually helped him gain reviews and recommendations and referrals. And he was able to build a really neat, you know, logistics business around handyman, home operations. He had a great food distribution background, so he was able to use kind of the wide breadth of what Moonlighting was. And those are the types of stories. Not only are we, you know, impacting those users today, but we actually take some of our most interesting users, and we have some features on the platform where we can help them raise money for their startup. It's called Moonshot Stories, and we love the idea of, like, everyone should have a moonshot, so we decided to call it that. So we write stories about it. We've even we've kicked off a reality video series where we actually are filming the very users of our platform being hired and actually showcasing the way they're building their own business.
Wow. And so would you say, you as an individual, the reason you founded Moonlighting and the reason you helped out with people was because you saw such a need for that demand, you know, to have freelancing job opportunities and also pay the bills. Why did that come about? What was the inception of it?
You know, again, coming back to the awful feeling that I had that I might lose my job back when the market crashed, that was, you know, I think, you know, impacted a lot of different people. Now, I was fortunate enough where I had saved enough money and the company I was working for was really just taking off, and we were able to kind of persevere. But that feeling of helplessness. And the other thing too is I live in a small little college town where there's not a ton of jobs in my particular sector of what I do in the mobile business. Sure. So the idea for us was that we got to use the power of mobile and mobility in a mobile phone to be able to unlock someone's skills where they can actually work from anywhere. One of the things is when you have five kids, I wanted to make sure that I could also have a work-life balance. I travel a lot for work, like many people do, sometimes out of necessity. But this was the idea that I was trying to also give people the opportunity to create on their own, sustain on their own, like sustain their business, but also be able to be creative enough to where they can work on the things that they want to when they want to and have that work-life balance, which is so important. Especially we have a lot of women on the platform. We call them Moonlighting Moms, who are mobile optimized mothers who are using their phones so that they could have kind of their cake and eat it too while they're taking care of children, but also earning money because they have great skills and a lot to offer the market.
And that's a great transition then. And let's talk more about back with Moonlighting and about the business. And I'm always curious with the business background, do you think social impact is an important part of business?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things too, with me kind of approaching the latter end of my career, although, you know, there's still so much to do with Moonlighting, but for me, I looked at it as, you know, I'd worked at corporate jobs, I've worked at startups, I've, you know, helped take companies public, and I wanted to do something that really wasn't philanthropic enough in my other endeavors. I mean, when you work for big corporations, so many of them do such great job of building, you know, unity in the company and team building and such around philanthropy. So I've always participated in those, but I never really had a chance to build something that the product could actually have that same philanthropic impact. And so it became very evident, and I think in today's society, that you need to align, you know, a social good with what you're doing. And it's not to say that there aren't products and services and things, you know, and things that are out there that don't necessarily align with a philanthropic cause. But for us and my co-founders, we were very much attracted to, if we focus in on the simple fact of just helping people find work, which is a real simple mantra and simple, you know, mission, that good things will come. And I think that's what is attracting so many people to the platform. We have, just in the US here, we've just eclipsed 675,000 users. That's a lot of mouths to feed. We look at that in that vein where we, and by the way, we don't feed all 675,000. That's one of the reasons why we're raising additional funding. That's why we're doing campaigns where we're getting our users involved in the ownership of our platform through crowdfunding. Yeah. So like we like the idea of, yes, we want to win. Yes, we'd like to make money. And we are, you know, we have shareholder, commitments as well. But there's no reason why aligning that with something that is so powerful around, I mean, employment impacts everyone. Yeah. Freelancing is disrupting that employment world and changing and creating leverage for workers, something that in a lot of cases we haven't had or workers haven't had through the years. So the idea that we could create a brand and a mission around helping people, and that be something that's tied to monetary success for the people that we're serving, and that monetary success changes, that could change their lives. Sure. Whether it be the relationship that they have with their children because they're working on their own now, which is near and dear to my heart because as a traveling parent, and especially for, I know a lot of working moms are often struggle with this because they want to stay home and spend more time with their families. Those are things that we're impacting to the good. And I think the trend of freelancing and, you know, the gig economy is only going to create more flexibility for people to work for themselves. And then I think that's if there's a greater good of what the benefits of a business, a for-profit business that gets to act like a nonprofit business.
Yeah. I like that. A for-profit business that acts like a nonprofit business. I think that's a good flip on, you know, traditional business, you know, ideologies and how they operate. And it's a social enterprise, but I like the idea of your mission being nonprofit. I like that. Yeah. And so let's jump into the last question then. And this is the community aspect. And so what's your advice for others to begin making a positive social impact in their communities?
Yeah, I think, again, kind of go back to it. We're fortunate because it's very evident in what we're doing. You can see it makes the impact. There's so many other products and services out there that maybe isn't so evident how they can do it. But I think there's always a tie back as long as you have a humanistic element. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, whether we're consuming a service or a good, there is always some, you know, consumption to a human that can make a positive impact. So, I think of more traditional companies. I've worked at large, like Verizon's and the AT&T's of the world. I think, you know, you can look at their services like mobile services and it's aligned with the greater good. But I think every company should take a look at, seeing how their product or service could leverage back into the community. Not enough companies, I think, do it. Some of it, by design in the sense of that maybe they can't do it. But I think if most companies look and try, like for us, we were just very fortunate because what we built is very evident. Well, I think people who maybe don't have the same evidence of a product or a service that they're selling to the, to the public, that there still could be a way to take their profits, to take other resources of the way they either manufacture or create that product or good or service. There's a way to always align that back into the community. And I think, the millennial generation, I think, is the beauty of the millennials. They catch a lot of flack for things, right? As millennials are, this, that, the other. But the millennial generation is very socially conscious, and they also are mission-based. Millennials would rather work for something that has meaning and has an opportunity to make an impact, rather so than maybe necessarily the profits or the amount of income they make or such that they're looking to align. I think the millennial generation will be that generation that will align, the good about business and the kind of the meat and potatoes of a business that you need to operate to be profitable and to be successful, but matching that up with still being socially conscious and making sure that they're giving back to the community.
Yeah. And that's the one thing, the positive I love. There's always the negative spin on millennial generations. And the positive is that we are one of the most socially conscious, right? We're going to build a new gap. We're going to bridge the gap between what traditional business is and what business for people is.
I couldn't agree with you more. My take on millennials, seeing it, you know, from the lens of being like a mobile executive that I have been a long time, is millennials are amazing at multitasking, right? They understand technology like no other. And then you mix this third element of being socially conscious and aware. That's a lethal combination from a positive perspective of like being able to match all three of those. So I think the great companies you're going to see moving forward are going to be ones that match those, because their workforce is going to be a millennial or Gen Z workforce. Yeah. And I think blockchain is another thing we didn't really talk about. But if you look at blockchain technology, that just the whole notion of blockchain is about fairness and making sure the community is involved in the decision making of that particular company or has a say and a voice like a consumer should. I think that too, those kind of things converging all together, I think will make the next great companies that we think of outside of the Amazons, the Apples, the Facebooks, the Googles, which actually are all going to be under some form of a threat because they're all highly centralized companies, that the ones that I think will be the next iteration, we hope Moonlighting is one of those, but really ones that are decentralized where they're actually thinking about their consumers, whether it be in, you saw Airbnb made an announcement. They want to give their hosts equity in the company.
I think it's awesome.
It's brilliant. I mean, because at the end of the day, there's only so much money you can make. There's only so many things you can buy. And I'm not trying to be too, out there, but like the idea of aligning those things, the next great companies are going to have those attributes. And that's why we've made the move to blockchain, which is why we want to do crowdfunding. It's why we want to get our users really excited because our mission is aligned.
You have to have an aligned mission. And I agree that there's a consumer priority now, right? The consumers have the ability to mend businesses, but also create businesses and also direct how businesses go. It's a very consumer-centric mindset now. And I like that because that empowers the individual to purchase, but also know what they're purchasing and have a say in how it's created. I think that's such a cool mend of business and human-human connection.
Couldn't agree with you more, Avery.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. You know, thank you for taking 15 minutes out of what I can imagine is a super busy day for you, you know, founding a company and running it. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for taking this time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.